Welcome to Between Heaven and Earth, an internet radio talk show where we help you connect spirit and divine guidance. Lisa Kay, your host, brings you shows that can enhance and transform your life with tips and new ideas for more happiness, abundance, and better relationships. Lisa is an expert on intuition and can show you how to strengthen your inner guidance to empower yourself. Each show is positive and uplifting to inspire your day. Her guest speakers are specialists on self-help, positive thinking, spirituality, and conscious living. Be the best that you can be with Between Heaven and Earth, conscious living for your soul.
And angel blessings to everyone. And I welcome everybody back. We're here. It's the end of March, and spring is coming, I think. The weather. It's coming. But I wanted to just welcome everybody back because we've been doing a lot of different things, and we've got another wonderful guest today. Our show today is called "Healing Brought Down from the Mountain: Recovery from Paralysis to Marathon Athlete." 16 years ago, while working as a national ski patroller in Southern California, where he has served for two decades and had hundreds of rescues, Doug Hayes sustained a massive spinal cord injury from which he was initially paralyzed from the neck down, unable to move, breathe, or feel. Following his own miraculous healing from that paralyzing spinal cord injury, Doug first came into an awareness of his gift for spiritual energy healing. His story received widespread attention since its publication in Chicken Soup for the Soul, a book of miracles, Miracle on the Mountain. Since that life-changing experience, Doug has devoted himself to the study and practice of transformational healing. In his book, The Touch, Doug takes us through his story and how you can learn to use his method of healing. The Touch is much more than a teaching guide. Its heartbeat comes through in Hayes's inspiring Tales from the Trail. Milestones on his amazing trek down the path of light, stories of remarkable healings, including his own, that changed his life forever. So let me tell you a little bit about Doug. Doug Hayes started out as a young actor. His first TV role was at the age of 3, appearing in the original Twilight Zone series, directed by his father, Douglas Hayes. Following a successful acting career, Hayes shifted to writing and spent many years in the trenches of dramatic series television, with dozens of individual episodic credits and multiple network engagements as a creative executive and producer of primetime programming. After his skiing accident, The Touch, quote, awakened him to his own healing gifts and set the stage for his total immersion in the healing arts, a journey which took him through a lineage of masters and teachers from various traditions and back to school, where he graduated with a bachelor's degree in psychology from UCLA and a master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. Since receiving his master's, Hayes has devoted himself to developing his private practice in spiritual psychology, transformational coaching, and RAM healing. Hayes is an avid outdoorsman, skier, whitewater kayaker, martial artist, and long-distance athlete. Since his astonishing recovery, he has competed in numerous endurance challenges, including marathons, century rides, triathlons, and mountain multi-sport events. As a seasoned emergency medical technician, ski patroller, and outdoor rescuer, Hayes also holds a red belt in Pyongan Do Wan Kung Fu, and has served as a training instructor for the American Academy of Martial Arts. Wow, Doug, welcome. You've got an amazing background.
Well, yeah, you know, as they say, what a long, strange trip it's been.
Really? I mean, it's just at the age of 3 doing the Twilight Zone, too.
I actually sound pretty good on paper, and I'm told I still clean up pretty good.
Oh, is that right? So, you know, tell us about your story. I have to tell everybody, all our listeners out there, when I got Doug's book, I started to read his story. Actually, I started to read your story online a little bit, and then I had to get the book, and I started reading the book. And the publisher originally sent me just an excerpt, and I got to the end, and I was very disappointed because the excerpt just stopped. I was like, wait, I got to find out what happened. And you write amazingly well. Just awesome stories. And
oh, thank you so much, Lisa. Yeah, thank you.
It's just incredible. So could you tell us how did this all start? I mean, you were the ski patroller and...
Well, yeah, it's Valentine's weekend in 2000. I'm up on the mountain. I'm up there 7 years, 43 years old, doing great. And it's a beautiful morning. The clouds are coming in, though. It's starting to snow. And I'm out on in the early morning on a hill check.
Okay, patrollers, for everybody out there, if you're not familiar with skiing...
Yeah,
these are the elite skiers that
we're the guys in the red jackets.
You guys are the angels on the mountain. I call them. Yeah, you rescue the people who fall down like me.
Fall
in a big way.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So you are an expert skier.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think I can actually ski better than I can walk still to this day.
All right, I'm sorry. I just wanted to kind of...
very cool. Thank you.
All right, so you're...
If you can visualize, I mean, we're out there. It's kind of mid-morning, and I'm coming down through an area of the mountain, which is on my hill check, and that's just where we're looking for things that are, you know, right or wrong. But our mountain's in great shape. It always is, so... I'm coming back around through a trail where we have the snow guns on, the snow making machines. And those areas are usually kind of treacherous, so we keep the public out of there. We keep them closed off, but we ski through them all the time. And so I'm coming through this area and down around the last turn before it's about to open up onto an open run. And I run across the berm of snow below the snow gun. And my skis just stop dead. I'm going, I'm guessing 15 miles an hour. My heel bindings release perfectly. I catapult through the air. I think I'm going to do a full rotation and land on my back and, you know, kind of get up laughing, dusting myself off and looking up at the people on the chairlift saying, don't try this at home, kids. This man's a professional. But that's not the way it went. Instead of completing the rotation, I only made it halfway and I went pile driving head first into the ground. Instantaneously, it felt like my entire body exploded, like a bomb went off inside me. And I was vaguely aware of my body tumbling through space. I described it, you know, as a rag doll shot from a cannon. Mm-hmm. And then I landed and everything became still and everything became white. And this is not the chorus of angels story. Nobody was singing me home. It was just white. And I don't know for how long, but I did start to come to, and I did find myself lying face down on the mountain, spread eagled, looking back up the mountain at the snow gun that had caught me. And, so I started to just kind of take stock to assess myself. And you know, I realized I wasn't going all that fast. I'd taken a forward launching fall, hit my head. Maybe I got a concussion, knocked myself out. Let me try to get up. Nothing happened. I tried again, nothing happened. And then I realized, it was pretty quick to realize, I couldn't move, couldn't feel anything from the neck down, and I couldn't breathe.
Oh my gosh.
I was lying on top of my radio. There was no way to call for help. And I just looked back up that mountain. And I saw my dad standing there. And, you know, it was kind of an unusual sight because dad wasn't really a skier to begin with. And also, he'd been dead for 7 years.
Oh, boy.
But there he was, kind of just standing there. And he didn't look like ghostly or ethereal. There was nothing like woo-woo. I mean, he's just like standing there like he's come out for a walk. He's wearing a pale yellow members-only jacket. Some of your listeners may remember those, and his old brown pants. And somehow the words come out. I wasn't speaking, but, you know, like the words came out, the thought came out, what do I do now? And the intention was, what do I do now to come where you are and to join where you are, because you're obviously here to take me over. And he says, just breathe. And so I looked down, and right at that moment, I noticed that my chest was beginning to rise and fall again on its own.
Oh, wow.
And I was taking in breaths, and breathing feels a hell of a lot better than not breathing, let me tell you. So I looked back up to thank my dad, and he was gone.
Wow. Now, did he look like 3D? Or like he just...
Oh, no, like just standing there. It was just my dad standing there. And by the way, let me interject, Dad. I know you're listening. You look great, man.
I know he's listening. Oh my gosh. So you're lying there, you're paralyzed, you're breathing now, but you can't move. So what'd you do?
Still don't know what's happening, but my training is telling me, you know, pretty much the worst. And my brothers start to show up on scene. Six guys I know really well. Actually, the first two guys showed up.
Other ski patrollers.
Ski patrol, yeah. Mm-hmm. Josh and Scott, you know, both paramedics. And, you know, like top of the top. I mean, come on, if it's one of us, you know, you get, you know, we empty the shed for you.
Oh, yeah.
And so these two guys show up and they start to ask me the usual questions we use to like assess your level of consciousness, like, you know, where are you, day of the week, who's the president, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I looked at them, I said, guys, I know the answers to all those questions. Problem's not in my head. Problem is I can't move or feel anything from the neck down. Oh. I think I've broken my neck and severed my spinal cord. Don't know if I'm ever going to be able to feel anything from the neck down again. And we're into some really bad, can I say the word?
Yeah.
Shit here.
terrified. Were you scared?
Well, you know, yeah, at this point I was. I mean, scared is an interesting word because let me say, I just had no context at this point for what was happening. But my father's presence and my ability to breathe again at this point in the scenario.
You were a step back.
They helped a lot. Yeah. Well, the guys, go ahead.
No, actually, we're going to go to break in 6 seconds. But it's unbelievable, too. And also, here you are. You are the expert. You know what happens when someone falls, you know, in the snow.
I'm usually the guy directing that.
So. Yeah, and here you are. Now you're the guy in the snow. Well, we're going to go to break, we'll be back in a couple minutes, and we'll continue this story. Stay with us.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
Ohm Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Ohm Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Ohm Times Radio.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Ohm Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Being a radio host on iOhm FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Ohm Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Ohm Times endeavor. Host your show with Ohm Times Radio Network.
This is OTR FM. Part of the iOhm Radio Network.
And welcome back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio. And I'm here with Doug Hayes, who's telling us a story of how he basically broke his neck, became paralyzed after doing a run down a mountain on skis. And Doug is an accomplished ski patroller and skier. And so, Doug, we were at the point where now you're lying in the snow. You've fallen, broken your neck, apparently, from what you had surmised. And you have your fellow ski patrollers are now coming to rescue you.
Yeah, the boys are showing up on scene. And, you know, as I said, they asked me the usual questions and, you know, I just kind of skipped right past those and gave them a picture of what was going on. And they call in the troops and, you know, within a minute or two, I'm surrounded by six of my brothers on the mountain.
Wow.
Now, let me just characterize these six guys for you, because I think it's an important part of the story. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Christian man. In fact, I don't really identify as a member of any religion. I have a deep spiritual faith. And can I say that everything that I've ever believed or held in my heart came true for me that day. But these guys, besides being three of them paramedics, and you know, six of the top senior ski patrollers on our patrol, absolutely the best of the best. We're all six of them devout Christian men, all six of them deeply involved with healing within their faith, and three of them, the lead patroller and two of his guys, were a minister and two deacons in the same church, you know, whose whole life is about spiritual service and healing. So this was the crew that showed up. Now, we might have on that mountain, we have about 150 registered patrollers on that mountain on any given day, you know, like Thanksgiving weekend, which is full on sold out day. We'll have 30 to 35 patrollers on the hill, and we're running all day long. And so do the math, do the numbers for yourself, what the odds are that it would be these six guys on that hill on that day.
And how many miles and miles of trails. Right?
So. Yeah, there you go. There you go. So yeah, I think you have the picture. But anyway, so, you know, it's now backboard, C-collar, oxygen, you know, the way we handle a situation like this. And the boys are putting me through the routine, and they come to where it's time to roll me over on my back, on the backboard. And as they do, okay, this is a cool part of the story. It's snowing, as I said, lightly. And the clouds at this point actually open up, and this sharp diagonal shaft of light comes down and hits us at the scene. And and right at this moment, as the light is hitting us, the boys went off book. And what I mean is they did something that's not in our manuals, because I know, believe me, I went back and checked several editions. And they put their hands on me and they prayed. And if I have anything to say at all, this is it. They put their hands on me and they prayed for God to be with us at the scene, and that I would be healed, and that my healing would forever be a demonstration of God's divine love, compassion, and will for me in my life and in this world, and that I would forever be a witness to that.
Wow.
As they prayed, all my fear, whatever fear I had left, just vanished. And I realized that whatever was happening here was something bigger than I was, that I was only called upon to play a part. Wow. And whatever that part was, I was willing to play it no matter what.
Wow. Very moving.
Yeah, right? For me too. Yeah, and if I stop for a second, it's because I'm just choking up and trying to breathe and, you know, not swallow my tongue.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So, you know, they're strapping me into the backboard, and it comes time to put my hands across my chest for the ride down the mountain. And they bring my right hand across my chest, and it thumps across my chest. Sorry, I don't mean to thump the microphone. Lisa doesn't have any eardrums anymore.
No, I'm fine.
Hand thumps across my chest. I say, I feel that. You know, same thing with my left. They bring it in, boom, I feel that. And it's not like I just felt it, but, you know, like through a mattress, but it was there. And I said, do me a favor, guys, knock. Go ahead.
So as you're lying there, what are you thinking?
At this point, I know something extraordinary is happening. The minute the prayer ended, you know, I was able to feel again. I recognize who these guys were around me. You know, I recognize the faces of the angels around me.
So something shifted after the prayer, whereas you couldn't feel anything,
right.
and then you start
sensation
to feel something.
Came back. Wow. Yes, exactly. Yeah, and so you know they're taking me down the ride down the mountain, and the entire patrol is like assembled as they put me in the ambulance, and you know to.
Hang on a minute. I'm curious. So when they said the prayer, do you remember or recall anything? Did you feel sort of like a shift inside your body? Or?
Oh, absolutely. As you know, as I tried to say, maybe I didn't say it well, but that's when I just lost all my fear. And I recognized that whatever was happening was much bigger than I was.
So the fear went away. Was there anything that you felt... Well, obviously you were paralyzed, so you couldn't feel a whole lot. But was there anything that you, I guess it was more of an emotional shift.
Right, but the point is that there was the recognition that I was being called upon to play a part in something that was bigger than I was.
Awesome. Yeah. So now they're bringing you down the mountain.
Bringing me down the mountain, you know, the entire patrol is there to send me off. And, you know, normally we'd fly somebody in my condition out of there. We couldn't. The weather was too bad. So they took me down to the local community hospital. All due respect, Big Bear Community Hospital, yeah. This is the hospital that attends to all of the major trauma that comes up both of our mountains. When we're on a sold-out weekend, we have 17,000 up there.
Wow.
Of that 17,000, we'll see about 1% on any given day. Of that 1%, maybe 20 to 30% are going to the hospital. So this is the place that sees them all.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I come in there, they put me on a gurney, they start running tests, putting IVs in my arms. One of my dear friends from Ski Patrol, Leanne Drake, shout out to you and Jordan Romero. Leanne showed up and sat by that table for 7 hours and held my hands while they ran me through the tests. And so, you know, while I'm lying there, I'm starting to get what we call gross movement back in my legs. I mean, it's like I can twitch them and I can twitch parts of my body and there's like movement coming back now. And it's just like, how can I describe it? Someone is flipping switches inside my body and electrical currents that were shut off were now coming back online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got the first official news of my condition.
Yeah, what'd they tell you?
Yeah. So, you know, as I said, how many wrecks these people see. Doctor comes to me and he says, short of a fatality, this is the worst injury I have ever seen come off these mountains.
Oh, my gosh. That's supposed to make you feel good? Oh, my God.
Well, he's just telling me the truth. I would expect him to tell the truth.
Okay.
And and he said, we just do not know how this is going to go. He said, you've got tremendous trauma to the spine. There's a 3-level fracture of your process, vertebrae processes, you know, which is the back part of the vertebrae.
Mm.
He says you have a 3-level spinal cord contusion with incomplete quadriplegia and deep cord syndrome.
Mm.
And so the bottom line is we don't know if you're ever going to walk again. It's a coin flip. And I looked at him and I said, Doc, you have no idea who you're dealing with. So anyway, it took about 7 hours for me to get out of there. They packed me into an ambulance and took me down the hill, you know, and it's bad weather all the way down the mountain to Loma Linda Hospital. Shout out to Loma Linda Hospital. Greatest trauma center in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way down, you know, the boys have heard the story and I tell it again. And they get me down there to Loma Linda and it's raining and I feel the rain on my face and I look up at the guys, I say, brothers, I feel like I'm being baptized. And they look at me and say, brother, I think you've already been baptized.
Yeah.
All right, so now I'm at Loma Linda Hospital, busiest trauma unit in Southern California. This is where we get all the auto wrecks and gunshot victims and gang members. And I'm in what they call the critical care unit. It's not, you know, the extreme upstairs unit, but it's critical care. because I can't move, and you know, I'm in blazing pain, need pain meds to stay alive, and so it's, you know, 24/7 major hospital scene. And now a parade of my ski patrol brothers and sisters begin to show up. Hello, Paul Romero. Hello, D Center. And excuse me. Mm-hmm. And I watch each of them come into the room with these looks of horror and trepidation and feeling the worst, fearing the worst. And they come into the room and they see me lying in my bed all hooked up. And I'm sitting there just like smiling, glowing in this combination of what I call spiritual epiphany and morphine sulfate. And they would come in and they would see me and they'd gather around my bed and I'd tell them the story. I'd tell them the story, not that they hadn't heard it or seen it or been there, but tell them the story of what had happened on the mountain from my point of view.
The miracle on
and,
the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the miracle on the mountain. And I saw when I told my story how it would change them. How they would come in with these looks of horror and they would leave with just reconnected and reaffirmed and knowing that I was going to be all right and that a true miracle had taken place.
Well, we've got a little less than a minute before we go to break again. But
okay, cool.
So
yeah,
when we'll
yeah.
Come
no,
back,
keep me
gonna,
in line.
We're
going
to have to, you know, we'll come back and
yeah. These are perfect chapters, by the way. You got the mountain and you got Loma Linda. So
yeah. So and you know, we're getting to the part where you were able
garden.
To heal yourself, and you know,
yeah,
and
next stop is the garden. Yeah.
Yeah, and basically come back from, you know, it's a horrific accident.
We use the word freight. In that instance.
Freight?
Freight, yes.
Why?
You know, like you carry freight or ship freight.
Oh, so were you freight?
Yeah, in the beginning I was freight, yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're going to go to break and then we're going to come back and we're going to continue Doug's story and tell you how he got healed, got back up on his feet, and is here talking to us and how this miraculous healing is something that... he learned about and can and impart to you. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Cool.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM radio network.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
And you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio. And we are talking to Doug Hayes today And about the healing he brought down from the mountain. And we're at our half hour mark. And I wanted to let you know where you can get Doug's book and find out more about him. His website is DougHayesHealing.com. And that's Doug, D-O-U-G, Hayes, H-E-Y-E-S, healing.com. And then you can find out more about his work. And the book is called The Touch, Healing Miracles and Methods. And it's published by Findhorn Press. And so, Doug, where can people get your book?
Well, they can certainly get it there, or they can just go on Amazon.com and order it, or they can come directly through me, through DougHayesHealing.com, and I can get them signed, numbered, author's editions.
Oh, nice. And delivered.
And right? I'm happy to do that, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's DougHayesHealing.com. And you want to tell people about your work, your workshops, and what you're doing next?
We'll be putting out the schedule in the next few days. Everything's kind of come in all at once, as I knew it would about the time the book was going to drop. So I am setting up a series tour of my Awaken Your Inner Healer workshops, which is all about this. You could call The Touch kind of a text for it. And the first one looks like it's going to set up in San Diego. Then we're going to follow up with L.A. We've got a setup coming to Sedona. I'll be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Austin, Texas, and Honolulu, Hawaii before the summer is out.
Wow, that sounds great.
And so I'll be announcing the schedule very, very soon. Thierry and Gail, I hope you're listening. Mm-hmm. And that's what the schedule looks like lying ahead. This work is so fun and so illuminating, and the workshops are so great. And, you know, they kind of take different forms a bit. You know, I adapt the material to different rooms and but it's multimodal, experiential. I mean, we work with, you know, light and breath and sound and prayer and hands-on healing and intuitive scanning and basically all of the skills. I would call it an introductory workshop in that way, but, it's designed for dedicated spiritual travelers, for people who recognize they're on the path and what we're here to do. And so I just kind of invite everyone to come and participate. And we can always work with someone who wants to be there.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah,
like a good step. Yeah, yeah, go join one of Doug's.
All right, so we're at Loma Linda.
Yeah, okay. Before we go to that, what I wanted to do was just let everybody know where you can reach me. You can get me at my website at lmk88.com. And as the introduction had kind of touched on, I teach people how to develop their intuition to make it happen when they want, on what they want. And we've got some online classes that are opening up, and I'm just opening up a new one. Opening up the online class to run again. We've got a bunch of people who just finished level one, and now we're ready to do it again. We've got some people who are out there interested. And also, if you are interested, you can go to intuitiononly.com and sign up and get some free videos on developing your intuition. And sign up there, intuitiononly.com, and get those free videos. There is a nice little series there, and it gives you the basics on how to get your intuition to work when you want, on what you want, and get detailed information about it. It's great material. A lot of the material that's there, I give talks on, and people go home that day, and they're able to get control over their intuition. It's really awesome. So intuitiononly.com. And you can go get me again, sign up for a free ebook on developing your intuition at lmk88.com. So Doug,
send me a big bag of swag, Lisa.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I digress.
So,
all right, Loma Linda, critical care unit, and I'm
now,
there about
is
a
this,
week. And,
is this where you you develop the healing techniques? When
This is where I woke up and realized what was happening. And I'm kind of still in the story at this point. It's just kind of still unfolding.
Okay.
Own experience at this point.
It's an amazing story. It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
And I'm
so
just sitting on the edge of my seat wondering, So now how did he
I'm so glad. And
how did he heal himself?
I'm so excited to be able to tell it. I really am. You have no idea what this day means to me.
That's awesome. So you're in now. So they transferred.
So I'm there
you.
And okay. I'm there about a week, and suddenly the chief of neurosurgery and 15 of his residents surround my bed, like make a horseshoe around my bed. And he's been over my case, and you know, he's the top neurosurgeon in Southern California. And he looks at me and he goes, I'm recommending, you know, I've looked at your case, I'm recommending a 3-level spinal fusion for you to, you know, ease the trauma on your neck and help speed your recovery. And I looked at him and the entourage, the eager young faces, and I said, you know, doc, I recognize that you're making the correct medical call here, and I know that if our positions were reversed, I'd be doing the same thing for you. I said, but I got to tell you, something truly extraordinary is happening here, and I just want to wait and see and how my own recovery goes until I would consent to letting you cut me open and staple my neck together. Mm. And, you know, he looks at me all offended, like I've, you know, disrespected his medical expertise. And I look at the ring of faces, and they're like, yeah, baby. You know, like, you just told the Oracle Delphi to screw off. And, but anyway, they left the room, and about an hour later, I get my walking papers. The walking papers come in terms of a, you know, like a clipboard. And
they released you from.
Yeah, apparently, if I was
because you didn't want to do it.
Surgery, they were gonna let me go. They needed my bed, and I didn't blame them. So they hand me a clipboard with a bunch of hospitals on it. It was like, where do you want to go? I had no idea. So I took the clipboard, Lisa. I spun my finger around the air, dropped it on the clipboard. And it comes to Daniel Freeman Memorial Hospital in Inglewood, California. Hmm. Shout out to Daniel Freeman Memorial Hospital in Inglewood, California. Hmm. It's howling rainstorm outside when they take me away in the ambulance. It's a 3.5-hour trek from Loma Linda to Daniel Freeman. And about halfway through the program, the pain meds are wearing off. By the time I get to Daniel Freeman, I'm in a world of screaming hurt. They brought me in, gave me the best room in the house in the spinal wing and, you know, solo room, corner windows. I mean, I felt like I'd just, you know, landed in the perfect place, which I had.
And what are they supposed to do there for you? Because you're not, you decided no surgery.
This is rehab.
Oh, so it's rehab. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rehab, spinal rehab, technically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm there and Nurse Gina comes in and, you know, gives me the shot and I start to feel better. And by the morning, I'm able to could wheel myself at this point in a wheelchair, not very well. But I got outside by the desk and I met a couple of people out there. And one of the first people I met was Pat. Now, Pat is a 300-pound Black Baptist woman who rides around on one of those, what are they called, rascal scooters, and is there for pain management, God bless her. A brilliant, beautiful, earth mother presence, deeply devout Baptist woman. And I come out there, we start to get to know each other, and I tell her my story. And as soon as I tell her my story, she just looks at me and reaches out and throws those arms around me and takes me in. And I think I'm crying at this point. I'm not sure. I was crying a lot. And but I just like being held by the earth. Like, I understand. I get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm there a lot, and I'm praying a lot, and it isn't long. And, you know, they brought me a wheelchair, okay?
So
the wheelchair
point,
they brought me.
You can move yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I can. Yes, I can. I can't really walk yet, but that's
walk.
Kind of what I'm there for. Mm-hmm. More is to learn how to use my body again.
Right. Okay. So you're well, that was the partial paralysis.
Yeah, it's
right?
coming it's, back, and it's coming back like mysteriously fast.
Wow. Yeah. So and it's coming back in spite of your saying you don't want the surgery. So here you're. So you're here to,
okay, cool.
to get you're here to get the to get the rehab,
yes,
but you still
I'm,
you can't I'm, you can't walk rehab. And you're in pain.
I can't walk, and although, you know, I mean, at this point, you know, we're doing the parallel bars thing. You know, it's like the Rocky, all but the Rocky theme is playing at this point. So they brought me a wheelchair. The wheelchair had a sticky wheel on the left side, but as soon as I realized I could get myself around in that wheelchair, it's all I did, and I blew out my latissimus muscle on the left side.
Oh, because you were overdoing
it. But now, okay, it's like here's a
pain I can relate to. This I understand.
You would say you're an athlete, right? Because obviously
yeah, I would say
you're
that.
An elite skier and
long time old dog.
Right?
Yeah.
So now you're in rehab and it's sort of like, you know, back to the exercise to get you rehabilitated.
Right.
So
exactly.
You're going through all these things, but you still can't walk and you
No, I'm still in a wheelchair and God bless them. I mean, I had great insurance at the time, and right after this incident, they brought me a $3,000 racing wheelchair, which I donated back to the program as soon as I was done.
Because you didn't need it anymore.
anyway, that's right. At this point, I found the garden, okay? God bless the garden. The garden was about an acre in size, and beautiful kind of little rolling hills, and, you know, little park benches, and, you know, picnic tables, and these gigantic, I don't know, 100-year-old, 150-foot-tall, spreaded banyan trees. And clearly, I mean, just this powerful place where I just totally identified. And so I was out there praying a lot. And my friend Vicky came to see me. I love you, Vicky. And Vicky and I had known each other since we were kids. She and her husband, Michael, were two of my very best friends, you know, from our teens on up. And Michael had died 5 years earlier from melanoma. Melanoma is a raging bitch of a disease. And in the final year of his life, their relationship just became a hell. I mean, of rage and pain and recrimination and sorrow and regret and fear and madness and, you know, I could go on. I can throw words out pretty good. But you get the picture. And anyway, Michael died. And it was, you know, in some ways, of course, a tragedy. I love you, Michael. And but, of course, in some ways, a great relief in a, you know, complex time for all of us. So there we are in the garden. Vicky is sitting there. And I tell her the story about the guys on the mountain. And I'm just getting to the point where I say, Vicky, I know that there are angels in this world and that some of them wear red jackets with white crosses on them. And I know that there are six angels in this world that I can name. And I actually neglected to name them a while ago, so I'd like to.
Okay.
It's Josh.
We're going to hold that thought and we're going to go to break.
Okay.
And when we come back,
really?
we're going to name them and find out how he got back on his feet.
I did.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OhmTimes Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.ohmtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OhmTimes Advisors. Connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OhmTimes Radio. I'll meet you there.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Host your show on iOhm FM, the radio network of OhmTimes Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OhmTimes. Hosting a show on iOhm FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOhm Radio Network.
My guest is telling us, Doug Hayes, of how he basically, in a skiing accident, broke his neck and through a series of miracles was able to heal himself and bring that healing back with him. And now he is a healer. So Doug, tell us, we've got 12 minutes left.
Let me bring it home. But I got to tell you, from my point of view, we're on perfect timing because this is where it happens.
All right, let's go. Love it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm in the garden with Vicky and we've just had this. And I said, I know there are six angels, you know, that I can name. And they are Josh, Scott, Eddie, Chuck, Rick, and Alex. God bless you, my brothers. And so, you know, and just at this point, I look at Vicky and I said, oh my God, Vicky, there's one more angel that I can name and he's here and it's Michael. Mm. And because I suddenly had this impression that someone else had joined the conversation. And it, you know, it wasn't an apparition like my dad, but it was just this sense. It was Michael and he started speaking. He started speaking through me. And what happened in the garden was that they got to complete that whole last year. They got to forgive themselves and forgive each other and say, I love you one more time. And that's what happened. And this went on for about a half an hour. And suddenly I come out of it, you know, like somebody flipping a switch. And I look at Vicky and she's got the makeup runs down her face. And if I was wearing makeup, I'd have had them too. And she says, do you know what just happened? And I said, I think so. But I, you know, had no context for it. I still didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And so we hugged and she went on her way. And I went back up to my room that night. And I'm just getting into bed and first lying in bed. And the same energy comes over me. It's Michael again. And he tells me something. And he tells me something really specific. And it's so specific, I don't just want to call Vicky and tell her because it's too out there and she's going to think I'm crazy. And it's going to invalidate everything that happened in the garden and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So, but I sat with it all next day and I called her the next night just as I went to bed and I said, Vicky, Michael came to see me again last night and he told me something really specific he wants me to tell you. He said, he told me he wants you to reread the letter that he wrote to you when you first found out that he was terminal, the one you keep in the box under the bed. Vicky just lost it on the phone. She goes, oh my God, I know exactly the letter you mean. I haven't been able to read that letter for years. I do keep it in a box under the bed.
Oh my gosh, and you didn't know anything about this, right?
No. I mean, this was just like coming through the pipeline.
So you had no idea there was a box under the bed?
Oh, no, none of that. And she says, I haven't been able to read it for years, but when I got home the other night after what happened in the garden, I pulled it out and read it again for the very first time. Mm. I said, so here's the universe talking to me and saying, just in case you think any of this is a coincidence, pay attention.
Yeah. Wow.
And so I did. I'm out in the garden again the next day and I do the thing, you know, like I'm holding my hands up to the light, artfully backlit by the sun. And I say, if it's possible for a group of guys to show up and put their hands on me and transmit this kind of healing energy to me, why can't I do that for someone else? And the voice in the garden says, what makes you think you can't? And I went, oh, okay. I spun my chair around, went back inside, went up the elevator, came out the elevator. There's Pat sitting there on her scooter. I said, Pat, come on, I need a witness. And we both go wheeling into Macy's room. God bless you, Macy. Macy's an 80-something-year-old black woman. She's been at Daniel Freeman for months. She hasn't been able to walk since she got there. She got bed sores up and down her body. She has no visitors at all. She stays up all night keeping the nurse and staff going crazy with her pain and complaints. And
I like what you said in the book, too. Just sorry to interrupt, but you were saying in the book that nobody wanted to go in there either.
Yeah, nobody wanted to go in there. Yeah, let me describe it. It's a two-bedroom, but she's only in the bed in the back, and the lights are off in the front of the room, and there's only, like, the little bedside lamp back there where she is, and all you see is, like, this little shriveled-up dark figure in the little hospital bed back there. Nobody goes in there. She's just purely the task of the nursing staff, and God bless them, too. You know, before this, actually, I had gone into Macy's room, we'd kind of gotten to know each other, like, on my rounds, you know, as I called them. And we got to be friends, and, you know, she was blown away by my story, and I won't go into that. But anyway, so here come me and Pat, and we pull up on either side of her bed, and I said, Macy, I've been out in the garden again, and God told me that he was going to allow me to heal others by putting my hands on them. And she looks at me with those old, soulful eyes, and she says, oh, dear Lord, would you put your hands on me, please? And I said, well, that's kind of what we're here for. And she's got a whole list of things. You know, she can't walk. She can't sleep. She's got the bed sores up and down. And, you know, before we know it, we're just like rolling up her nightgown. And I look at Pat. I said, let's not roll it up too far. I don't want to put my hands on too much. And Macy cracks up. Pat cracks up. And we go to work. And it's the first time, obviously. So I didn't have a lot of experience or have any idea what I was doing. I just went with what the boys on the mountain had said for me, that, you know, God would be there, that Macy would be healed, that her healing would forever be a demonstration of God's love, compassion, and will for her in her life and in this world. And we would forever be witnesses to that. And then I riffed from there, you know, and once I get going, I mean, you get the idea. So I did that. And Pat did her thing. And my God, Pat was a professional prayer and just went into the most beautiful and rhythmic and musical and powerful, and I can just still remember it now. And we filled that room, and again, it was for about a half an hour. It seems to be always about a half an hour. After which, my lights came back on again, and I'm like sitting in a room with these two sweet old ladies, and I go, oh my God, it's been wonderful, but I'm exhausted and I gotta go to bed. So I left the room, went back into my own room, piled into my own bed, and fell asleep immediately. Woke up early the next morning, physical therapy for like an hour, you know, worked out like an animal as always. Mm-hmm. I'm coming out of physical therapy like, you know, drenched. Mm-hmm. And there's Pat sitting on her scooter outside PT. So we pull up on either side of each other and we're kind of like, you know, about what happened last night, you know, you know. And all of a sudden we hear, there he is. And we look down the hall. And here comes Macy walking down the hall with her physical therapist, who's like totally astonished and walking beside her. And she's walking down the hall like unsupported, no cane, nothing. She's walking down the hall toward me and Pat going, there he is. The power of Christ done come through Doug and I can walk again today. Now, these are words that will change your life.
I love that.
Yeah, changed mine. The ribbon on the Macy story is that she continued to get better. I continued to get better. And on the same day I left the hospital to go home, Macy Bowden left the hospital to go home.
Oh, my God. What an amazing story. So what was it? What is, you know, I read a lot of the book, and I know every time you tell a story about it, and there are many stories like this, by the way, those of you who are listening.
Yeah.
And at the end, you kind of say a little bit of what you think it is. What is this that's healing them?
Well, I'm very, very clear it's the presence of spirit and the power of spirit in which we live. I mean, there is no limit to what we can do, and there's no limit to the ways that we can heal ourselves.
So we can heal ourselves. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And we can heal each other. No, there's no, I'm sorry. The techniques in the book are simple. I mean, I went to work really hard. You know, there's a whole story in there about my masters and teachers and Dr. Wu and Dr. Ewan and that journey, and also going back to school and getting a bachelor's degree in psych and a master's in spiritual psych from the University of Santa Monica. Both degrees, by the way, taken side by side with my son, Adam Hayes. Who is an accomplished healer in his own right, and
a true light warrior. So I have a question for you. So
the
healing techniques that you learned, how did they, in your mind, coincide with the healing that you brought down from the mountain?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I just went into what just happened. And so I had to go on a journey of discovery. I had to learn. And I'm a pretty quick learner, but I worked really hard, and, you know, those journeys through school were significant ones. But this was really an unfolding and awakening in which I had to embrace what had happened to me and had to understand it at a deeper level, understand how it's meant to be and how it's meant to function through myself and in our world. When the guys prayed for me, it was in his life and in this world. And so that's where this comes from. This is a river in which we're all swimming. This is within us all. My whole point is, this is our divine birthright, and there's nothing mysterious about it. Each one of the techniques that we use can be quantified by science. If you want me to get into my quantum theory
lecture,
we can save it for another show.
Because I'm always the practical person, you know, you've awakened to this healing and helping others, and
Go ahead. I'm sorry, honey. I'm getting excited.
And brought these techniques together. So now, so when you help heal others, what is it comprised of?
Well, they come from the principles come from interwoven principles. Mm-hmm. I come from, you know, breath work, light work, hands-on healing, prayer and invocation. I have a shamanic relationship as well. I've learned how to do intuitive scanning. In fact, that was my very first protocol. Mm. It's much more complicated than some of the other stuff, but it's in the book as well.
No, it's there a
thank
lot.
You. The book is for people who just want to wake up and go, oh yeah, you know, I recognize this, and start healing themselves and the people in their lives. Or it's for advanced practitioners who want to take a deeper look.
Oh,
and I'm here to support and assist any of them.
Oh, and it's great. And I think, you know, there are many stories of how, you know, through Doug's, I guess through your evolution, you basically become this healer that sort of brought together what you've brought off the mountain and also through this technique.
Right. And I've really had an opportunity, as evidenced by the book. Because not only am I living inside these principles, but I've also been given the gift to be able to share them.
Well, that's awesome.
And I'm happiest when I'm doing that.
Well, I'm so glad you came and shared your amazing story with us. We're at the end of our show. And it fit perfectly, of course, with spirit with us. So thanks for being on the show, Doug. We'll have to have you back and tell more stories.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I look forward to that.
Oh, you're wonderful. Thank you for being here. So I'm Lisa Kay.
God bless you.
Same to you. You've been listening to Between Heaven and Earth. Tune in next time right here on Om Times Radio. We'll be back next week. Angel blessings to everyone. Bye.